It's your boy Michael Triotteo, and you are listening to the Ghetto Flowers Fresh Flower Podcast. The Fresh Flower Podcast is a bi-weekly underground talk show where we dive into topics that include music, style, pop culture, and all things digital, featuring your favorite artists, designers, and individual voices instilling the TGF mission. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast now and download the official TGF app for insider access to the latest drops, hottest events, and exclusive content that the Ghetto Flower community has to offer. Visit theghettoflower.com/download. Again, that's theghettoflower.com/download. Now, let's get into today's episode. Yo, 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 wake up and smell the flowers. It's your boy Michael Triotteo, and I'm here with Q and our very special guest, Joey.
What's up, man?
What's going on, bro?
Yeah, for real, appreciate you sliding, bro.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah. But nah, shit, how's everything been? Like, you know, we're back here loading up the podcast. It's been a while, but we're very excited to have you, man. How's life been?
Life's good, man. Blessed and happy is what I always say. It's what my father says too. Every day is a blessing.
Facts.
But we've been very busy at the store, thank God. You know, COVID threw a curveball at us, but we just got to roll with the time. So everything's been good, man. Family's healthy. Everybody's good.
Dope, man. Yeah. Dope.
Sure. Sounds good. Hey, and for the people that don't know, where's your shop at?
Just like down Milwaukee. It's on Milwaukee and Kedzie and Logan Square. We've been there, thank God, for 41 years.
Wow.
So my grandparents started it in May of 1980. They started by just like selling door to door to their coworkers and shit in the factories. And then it kind of exploded to where we're at now.
That's dope.
Yeah,
that's
big. Bro. A lot of history, bro.
And how's that feel being around like all that history?
Yeah, like a family business. Like.
So you grow up with it, right? So, uh-huh. You know, I grew up with a family of entrepreneurs, business owners. You really don't realize that you're living, I guess, a different life than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's what you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's like, I think I really didn't get to appreciate it until I was older, until I got more involved with the business too, to see what it actually takes to, you know, continue a business and make sure it's still thriving.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot of hard work, bro. A lot of hustle. Perseverance.
Hell yeah. So like, take me into like, you know, a day in the life of like Joey, maybe 10 years ago when you were, you know, starting to become accustomed to like, you know, hey, like my family actually does this, we've been doing this.
My story to get involved with the business starts a long time ago. I honestly, getting a little personal, like I was not as close with my family as I was maybe like 10 years ago when I started college.
Mm-hmm.
I actually moved out to Boulder for a year because I was at the University of Colorado.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, you just go through that as like a younger adult, trying to find yourself, figure out your identity. I came back here, I went to school at DePaul, met a lot of people, a lot of good people. But I was just like finding myself throughout that whole process. And then I started to get involved with my dad's business because that's when was like probably like 4 or 5 years ago when Instagram really like started to take off. And I saw what other jewelers were doing and I was like, well, I see the work my dad does, like why can't he be an Instagram jeweler too, you know? And that's not what we want. I mean, we want to stay focused on the family roots and, you know, not really being flashy and all that stuff. But that's where it like kind of started. I was like, yo, I think Instagram's a really good avenue to market your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just helping him out like on the weekends because I was still in school. And then when I graduated, it was like the day after I graduated, I started at a digital marketing agency somewhere in the South or West Loop. I was there for probably like a year. Didn't really like it just because it was a lot of work and they didn't pay that well. And then they started trying to make me do contract stuff. Sorry, I got bills to pay. I can't, you know what I'm saying? So then I actually got into taxes.
Oh, shit.
Because my sister was in taxes, and more than anything, it was more of a, like a niche market within taxes, tax resolution, just like helping people that owe money to the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be, it's like unregulated, so you don't have to be like certified or like go through any tests. You really just need to know tax code and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I learned, and I worked in tax resolution probably like 3 or 4 years, but my last year there is when I really started to get involved with the business. I made my own account. I like really started to brand myself and brand the store really well. And I mean, it wasn't all my work. Like a lot of it was word of mouth, right? Like Mano came through. Mano's a really big producer here in Chicago. He knows a lot of people. he brought a lot of people, they brought a lot of people, and it was kind of like a momentum of like 3 or 4 years of just like building up. And it got to a point where like I was leaving my office to take appointments at the store, and it was kind of like an epiphany moment when it was Chicago Conference Con. I went with my buddy Dave, he has a Slackers brand, and then I went with Aldrin, he has a title and he has a screen printing too. But it was Aldrin's birthday, and we literally bought tickets at like 2 o'clock, and you know, we were just like walking around drinking, and then I noticed like all these booths that I'm going through, like they're our customers, like these Chicago brands are like our customers, and that's kind of where I got like the Chicago jeweler idea, because I mean, these are like real Chicago people, real Chicago brands, and like we are their jewelers. So after that, I quit my job probably like 5 days later.
I was like, I'm going
all in. Yeah, fuck it. I just went all in, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been good ever since. Yeah, it's been really dope.
So that moment right there was the realization?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, man. Because I'm just like, man, I'm like these are people that have crowds. Like Joe Fresh, he had Lime. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I could go straight up to him, just like shake it up. You know what I mean? And then Nigel had his friendship talks, which is Nigel Holt, like Holt, Hollywood Holt. Yeah, Hollywood Holt. He's Mano's cousin. Okay. But he had like the talks, and he had like the whole booth, and like, you know, I just like saying what's up to him, Boneyard, you know, they had their same, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like a really big, like, we already have such a footprint within this community, and it's, if I go full time, like, where can we take it? Kind of thing.
I feel you.
So that was cool, man. It was really dope.
So since that point on, like, how's the transition been?
So, you know, obviously when you make a life change like that, like a career change, I guess, it's really nerve-wracking. I had just bought a house too. So I had a mortgage that I'm worried about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got bills and shit, and I'm just like, if I go with my dad, I know my dad can't pay me as much as what these companies are paying me.
Right.
So I mean, it's a huge pay cut. And I can make that up on the other end, which is actually where I started doing grills. Because grills is like my business, like that's my side hustle. That's all the money I make from that is my money. And I'm blessed that my dad allowed me to do that within the store, and then I kind of piggyback off the store, you know what I'm saying? And build credibility that way. But, you know, it was nerve-wracking. It was kind of hard at first to get accustomed to, because when you're working with family, you can butt heads, you know, it's tough. You have disagreements, stuff like that. But I'm so lucky because not all my family's working there, like both my older sisters, my mom and dad. We have cousins working there. So it's like a huge family. Inside the shop. But thankfully, like, we know how to just leave that shit at the store. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad and I literally could have shouting matches, and then we're talking about the Bears at dinner. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know to leave that shit at the store. But it was different. You know what I'm saying? To get accustomed to that. And I kind of had to come out of my shell too, because I'm like socially awkward, or I have like social anxiety, where it's like, you know, where customers come into the store and they ask for me, and I'm just like, man, I don't know who this is. Like, am I gonna fuck up this sale? This, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but I knew that the way that I had to get my name out there and the store name was to go to pop-up shops, to shake hands, get introduced to different people. And that's really what helped us. Just like going out there and networking. Makes a huge difference.
I mean, shit, Q, we can relate to that shit too. Like, there was a time period where like people really didn't know like the face behind like the Ghetto Flower. They sort of knew what it was, what we were about, but they didn't really know who, you know, where was it related to as far as like the industry goes and the scene. So, you know, we had to like, you know, start popping out, shaking hands. And you know, that's kind of how we met each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys were just talking about the past Saturday. You guys were saying you met a lot of new people, which is, it's important, right? Especially to keep a hold on your credibility and show face.
Hell yeah, definitely. So you brought up Wu. So when did you get connected with him? And I know both you guys are.
Yeah. So man, it's hard to remember like where we first got introduced, but I know he was always around Marquise. Marquise is always around Dave. Dave is like a really good friend of mine. Friend first, business partner second. But I saw him around, and like every time I saw him, bro, he knew everybody. He always knows everybody in the room. And to me, that's important because, like we said, we just talked about networking. So, you know, I did my research. I did a little digging on him. I asked around about him. And I was like, you know, if he's a good partner to work with, just as far as like trusting him, because we're going to be dealing with money and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we had a really good conversation at this yacht party, probably in the beginning of July, I want to say, or the end of June. And, you know, I got to a point through the month of July where like my grills were just like, I probably had like 3 or 4 appointments. And it was because I had to say no to a lot of people. Like, what the work I'm doing with the store has me running around all around. So it's like, people can't just like pop in and get a fitting, right? I had to say no to a lot of appointments because people could only come on the weekends too. And at that point, our store was just like way too busy. Like we had to, you know, limit the capacity of people. And there was times where we had lines like down the block to get in. And it's just like, it would be kind of weird, you know, to have these COVID protocols and then I'm like, doing a grill. So it's kind of just like contradictive. And I thought about setting a studio upstairs because we own the building where we're at. But that to me just gave it like an eerie feeling because the studio was like really dark and it's just like, not, I mean, you could turn it into something cool, but it was just a lot of work. And again, I just didn't have time. So I thought of bringing on Lou to help me out with taking the appointments. So I've been showing him how to make the molds. He gets the molds done, he tells me what the order is, and then I just get the order done. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah, so it's been working out well. It's been working out really well.
Dope.
Thank God.
Hell yeah. Yeah, shout out Lou, man. He's a good guy. She went to school with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's how I know him. He sort of linked me up with like Marquise and then like Nico Supreme. It's like it goes full circle. Like you meet one person, you realize that they know this person, and it's like, wow.
Well, so after a couple of years, you start to realize Chicago's a pretty small city.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's important to have a good name. You should never be worried about walking into a room and like, because you did somebody bogus.
You should always
make sure that your name is clean, no matter
hell
what. Honesty, all that stuff, very important.
Best facts right there, bro. For real.
Because it goes a long way, bro. Like if somebody has a bad taste in their mouth about you, and a bad word goes farther than a good word.
Than a good word.
100% right. Yeah, like bad news always
spreads faster.
It spreads really fast.
But we'll segue into something else because we know what you've been on recently. You know, we're a music blog / media agency. So what you been listening to, man?
We all know what I'm going to say. I have been listening to the new Drake album.
Oh, really?
Guilty.
I'm also guilty. I've been spending that shit all day.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, of course, we have to go on the conversation of Drake and Kanye. I think they're just not comparable. It's two different albums completely.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%.
I'm not a music guy either. Like, don't take, like, I wouldn't even know how to critique a song. But I think listening to both of them is just two completely different albums. I saw a meme somewhere. It didn't make sense to me, but it's like comparing a church to a strip club. Kanye's intentions for this album were way different than what Drake's were. So the music itself to the core is just completely different.
So do you feel like you could gravitate towards both of them, like depending
on how you feel? I know a lot of people don't, but it's like, and I also think it was a marketing thing. I mean, the beef between them. Drake says it time and time again. He doesn't even know Kanye like that. So like, what the fuck is the deep hated?
Right.
It's marketing, bro. That's all it is. Kanye doesn't just bring up this beef with Drake out of nowhere because, I mean, he's got an album dropping. He wants his fans to listen to his shit so that they compare it to his stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's all just
a big
market. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way the world works, man.
You got people from all sides interested in the world.
And then people who just don't even know what the fuck's going on have to listen anyway.
To get into the conversation.
Yeah, but then you get the people that get really into it. It's like, oh, this is where the beef really started. It's like the Kiki.
Exactly. Yeah. What are your like favorite tracks on there? Do you have any?
Oh man, I'm really bad with names, but I think what I've been listening to on repeat was what is it called? In the Bible, I think. A Lil Durk.
Oh yeah.
Way Too Sexy, obviously.
Yeah.
That's something like when you're drinking a pregame, whatever. In Too Deep is really good, but I like the second half.
I like that
second
track.
Because Future saves the song, but
yeah,
I don't even like Future like that.
Pop that shit.
Yeah. But then, like, That's what I'm saying. Like, you, and then you try to compare even the features with Kanye's album.
Yeah,
right. I think like it's like they have some of the same people on that. Yeah, on both albums, but I think the features on Kanye's album were a lot better.
I agree.
Just because I think he put them in there for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Was this is a question I don't know if you guys know. Was Lil Yachty in that?
Yeah, he was. His verse was fire.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. So it's just like I've never seen Lil Yachty in that kind of light, and like I've never heard that kind of verse from Yachty either.
Yeah.
Or that kind of music. And it's just like took him to a different
level. And I feel like that's what Ye does. He brings the best
out of people.
Yeah.
Every time.
Just Hurricane with The Weeknd, even though The Weeknd's already, you know. But that just shines light on his
and like The Weeknd and Lil Baby on one track, like who would have thought of that?
I like Lil Baby.
I love Lil Baby.
Dude, I love Lil Baby, and his feature on Kanye's album is way better than his song with Drake. I think so, at least.
Yeah, I feel like too. I feel like you definitely are spot on with that. I definitely feel like Ye's features were better.
Yeah, because he put them there for a reason. He's kind of like a, you know, like a mastermind head coach. Like he knows where his players play. Yeah, because like thinking about it, like Lil Baby's feature on Drake, it's like Lil Baby doesn't really rap about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff he was saying in his verse was just like, okay, you're writing this shit because Drake told you what the song's about.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of like force it, you know what I'm saying? Where for Kanye, he kind of was just like, you're going to sound really good on this, just give me something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of, you know, made it happen.
I feel you. Do you feel like, do you like any of their rollouts better? How about that?
Oh, fuck. I mean, the Donda tour, like the listening parties, you can't really get better than that.
Yeah, that's
literally everywhere, bro. I mean,
that's insane.
Like the night after the where he was here in Chicago, every single fucking Instagram story.
Yeah.
And whether they were listening or not, right? they're at the fucking listening party. So it's like, obviously, I love Kanye. He's a music genius. He's a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
So the rollout for Drake, I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird, kind of weak. I think Joe Fresh needs to give him a call and tell him how it's done.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, you know, you brought up Joe Fresh. Like, yeah. Let's segue into that. Like, how did you think about the Outside Clothes drop?
I just love any of his drops because they have a story behind it.
Yes.
I'm a marketing guy, I guess, but like,
yeah, definitely.
If you can tell a story, especially with something that you're about to do, like if it's clothes, music, whatever, people are going to gravitate towards it. That's what they relate to, and that's why they want to buy it. That's why he's got, you know, thousands of people on the website lining up for his stuff.
Hell yeah.
Because he can tell a story. So I love it. I love his, the shoes are fire, clothes fire. All the stuff he's done, even the stuff that he had with the White Sox was like really, really
real. Yeah, he's done so many collabs. Like,
yeah.
Man, just he's getting better and better.
He just dropped it. He just showed yesterday, what, the 1800 club?
Yep.
Because he's dropping some stuff in New York.
He just did like a fashion shoot too for New York Fashion Week. It's crazy, man.
Yeah,
because I love people like that that continue to break the barriers. You never think some shit like that could happen. You see this dude, and it's just
like, he made like a short film.
Yeah, he's even faced with it too. Like he's not shying down at all. Like he's bringing like the West Side
because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he believes in himself and what his purpose is. So that's gonna communicate through what you're doing.
I wanted to ask you too, because I know, congrats on the piece you did with Ron Louie, but
for sure.
How is that, you know, for you as like a jeweler when, you know, people may reach out to collab on like a piece?
Yeah.
It's, you know, using an example with Ron Louie, like the necklace and the bracelet you all did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that like? And, you know, can you talk about like the process and then some of the stuff you dealt with?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll talk about like how it kind of developed with Ron. Honestly, I don't remember how we got introduced. I think it was either Twitter or Instagram, or who reached out to who. But I do remember I actually bought some clothes off of him. He made me like a custom suede, because he used to do cut and sew stuff.
Yeah.
So he made me a suede like sweatsuit. But that was just me just like, I love your work, I'm just trying to support whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then how we even got into talks, I don't remember, but I just started sending him over ideas. And honestly, that was like probably the hardest collab I've done thus far, just because it just requires so much new things craftsmanship wise like on my behalf, where it's like I gotta figure out first how to make these links and then second how to paint them, you know what I'm saying, and make sure that the paint sticks, because with enamel it's like, especially with those locks, like the links connecting the links together, they have to sit up so that the paint can dry. So it's like even just figuring that out was such a pain in the ass. You could ask Ron, like it was the beginning of COVID, and it took me like probably almost 4 months to come up with the first prototype. Mm-hmm. And just like the first sample. Mm-hmm. And it was shit, it was horrible. And I felt so bad because I was like, dude, I just made you wait all this time. And it was just like not it. So I was just like, man, we were so close to just scratching it. But he had already hyped it up so much, and I was just like, nah, man, I gotta figure this shit out. This is gonna bother me. Like, So we just figured it out, man. I just like went through every avenue, every resource I had to try to figure it out. And I mean, we got the pieces together, and they look really good. They're super fire. We actually just got, they were part of a, damn, what is it called? Harper Bazaar? I think it's like a fashion. It's like Vogue and then Harper Bazaar or something like that. Shit. We're part of their, one of their editorials for their Italian branch. Yeah, so that's Ron. That's Ron and his connects, and that's what he brings to the table. He just tells me what he wants, and I just get it done. Yeah. So like, as far as collabs, in the beginning, like when we first started the Instagram and we were really trying to get popping on social media, I would reach out to people that I thought, you know, could bring clout to the business, right? Mm-hmm. I did a piece for Stitch God. That was literally just like a gift that we did. It was like a silver piece. And it was her logo. And she wears that thing every day. So it's like, I was doing stuff like that. But as far as like collabing together, like Ron and I think that was the first one that I've done like that. And then also, it was the hardest for sure. Okay. Yeah.
That's definitely. What's up. Yeah. I love that story that you gave the background on that. Cause you know, people need to hear that.
And I feel bad. Cause like, I know we had like a lot of orders and like, they waited quite some time, but it's like, it takes a lot of work to do shit like
that. Yeah. Each one was like hand painted.
It was hand painted. Yeah. So it was tough for us to like figure out the colors because we wanted gradient, you know, and then just how the paint is going to dry, figuring out the good material to use for the chains itself, figuring out the lock so that it doesn't get stuck or it's not too loose. Just a lot of stuff, a lot of engineering, craftsmanship, artwork, all that stuff went into the piece.
That's crazy, man.
I know. We got it done, man. Thank God.
For real. I wanted to ask also, like, you know, being like, you know, a jeweler, like, you know, a designer and also like a marketer as well, what's been like, you know, the strangest thing that you would say you've learned about like the jewelry business as you've sort of grown into who you are today?
Ooh.
But like the most, like, the thing that you expected the least as far as, you know, whether it's making jewelry or, you know, running a shop or.
Honestly, I think it really goes into the industry itself. We've always heard that, you know, people get ripped off in jewelry, right? There's bad people out there that scam people. Mm. But I didn't know until like the past 2 years at the level that these people are getting ripped off. It's like, it's like goes into like my business and like who we are too, because it's like, we don't deal that much with diamonds just because we have a very strong like Latino customer base. It's like 80% of our customers. So they buy a lot of gold. They buy for communions, baptisms, quinceañeras, birthdays, whatever. Yeah. But we get into diamond pieces because there's guys that want to spend money and this and that. But it's like, we can't compete with now Instagram, who has, you know, brought all these different jewelers in front of them. Mm-hmm. Because they just like lie about what they're selling. And it's just like so frustrating because the people don't know, you know, whether it's VS or VBS or SI or VF, you know what I'm saying? All they know is just that this guy's telling me that he's selling me something better for a cheaper price. You know what I'm saying? People get upset at us, but it's like, that's not how it works, bro. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you're always gonna get what you paid for. And just unfortunately, there's just a lot of people getting away with it. So that was surprising to me, because it's just like, these people really don't give a fuck, bro. Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck as long as you tell them. If you tell them it's BS, whether it's shit diamonds or not, that's all they care about. Because they're going to give you that money, they're going to put it on, and they're going to
tell everyone it's BS.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there are smart shoppers out there, you know, that they require appraisals, or, you know, they want like a third party diamond grader or something like that, which is good. That's how you want to shop for jewelry. But not everybody's going to go through those links to get what they want. You know what I'm saying? So it's surprising to see that there's a lot of people that just get away with it.
Another question I wanted to ask, like, what is like the craziest like jewelry you've seen somebody make? Because I've seen that tweet that you put up with the guy with the
The hair. The amount of people that have sent that to me, oh my goodness. Yeah, dude. I would say that by far is the craziest thing. For people that don't understand what we're talking about,
we're going to have it up on the video.
Okay, good. Because there's this guy that, for whatever reason, whether it's true or not, they said that he got chains implanted into his head for hair.
Wow.
Which doesn't. And it's so fake jewelry. You can tell it's a mile away. Yeah, you can tell a mile away that shit is all fake. It's just, no, it just doesn't make sense, man.
Have you seen something else that is like,
Piece
that's like insane?
Uzi's
like,
fucking.
Oh, yeah, the thing in his head.
That just doesn't make sense to me either. It's a $20 million diamond. Why do you want that thing for? I understand. And it's also like, how would you present that kind of diamond? Putting it in your fucking skin is a good way to answer that question. But also, it's like, he already, like you said, he jumped in the crowd at Rolling Loud and they tried to snatch it out. So it's like, you run into that issue. I'm sure security's fine for him, but you don't go jumping in a crowd if you have a $20 million diamond on your hair.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, there's going to be a lot of people that try to do that stuff where they think it's like trend setting, when really it's just stupid shit. It's just dumb. It's not.
Clickbait shit.
Yeah, clickbait shit. Just like, it's the people that believe any press is good press, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What I really like is like jewelers like Greg Nuno and Elliot, like all those people, they make crazy stuff, but it's because they're pushing the limits of the piece, like of the craftsmanship and of like the jewelry piece itself. It's not just doing something for clickbait. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah.
But we'll wrap it up on that note, Joey. For sure, man, for real, appreciate you coming out here, man. We didn't get into all the topics, but
I know I talked about it. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, at least we did good with our timing. But for sure, definitely appreciate you sliding, man.
Yeah.
But we're out. That's Fresh Flowers Podcast.
Fresh Flowers Podcast. Joey Torres. Thank you.
Appreciate you, bro. My guy.